This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. WNYC Studios is supported by the Brennan Center for Justice, presenting The Failed Experiment of Mass Incarceration. This virtual event on Wednesday, April 17th at 3 p.m. will feature criminal justice advocates and contributors to the new book, Excessive Punishment: How the Justice System Creates Mass Incarceration. They will discuss why the American approach to criminal justice is so punitive and how reforms would prioritize human dignity and restoration over retribution. Find more information and register for this event at brennancenter.org/events.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. As overwhelmed as the country is in pathogenic threats, we are at least as awash in messaging.
We can't know exactly how easily coronavirus spreads. We don't know the physical effects on the average infected person. We don't know the death rate. Flatten the curve? We're not sure what the curve really is.
You don't make the timeline. The virus makes the timeline. It doesn't matter what you say 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You've got to go with what the situation on the ground is.
Hi, everybody. It's Danny DeVito. And I'm asking you from the bottom of my heart, all over the state of New York, stay home.
They flow forth from public health officials, celebrities, medical experts, politicians, Facebook friends, partisan trolls. Some are mediated by the media. Others are just ad-libbed untruths from on high.
Anybody right now, anybody that needs a test gets a test. They're there. They have the tests. And the tests are beautiful.
2 weeks later, still in catastrophically short supply. Meanwhile, earlier this week, Trump waxed rhapsodic about a holiday reprieve.
Easter is our timeline. What a great timeline that would be. A beautiful timeline.
Beautiful, unless you don't want a holy day celebrating rebirth to be the occasion for spreading deadly contagion. To prevent that, you'd need some sort of miracle. On March 21st, Trump retweeted, quote, "Hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin taken together have a real chance to be one of the biggest game changers in the history of medicine."
People may be surprised. By the way, that would be a game changer.
But that game took an ugly turn.
An Arizona man died after taking chemicals that he thought would protect him from coronavirus, and his wife is in the hospital this morning. The couple took chloroquine phosphate. The active ingredient is also found in aquarium cleaner. It kills algae.
What would be your message to the American public?
Oh my God, don't take anything. Don't believe anything the president says.
Yet the president is even more than usually present. With his rallies canceled, he's turned the daily coronavirus press briefings into spasms of self-congratulation.
I'd rate it a 10. I think we've done a great job.
The question is, what is the press's proper role here in these daily briefings? Washington Post media columnist Margaret Sullivan floated the idea of simply not airing them live so the press has time to sift the facts from reckless statements. NYU media professor Jay Rosen thinks the media should not repeat the president's unsupported assertions at all unless they're sandwiched between context and fact. He goes even further, suggesting that the press boycott Trump briefings and photo ops. Fox News Channel's media reporter Howard Kurtz called cutting Trump's mic, quote, "the height of condescension." As if, he wrote, the media think Americans are too dumb to recognize spin and that, quote, "only the pundits in the press are smart enough to figure that out, so they will watch the president and then filter out what you need to know." Of course, filtering, explaining, and contextualizing is exactly what the press is supposed to do in all of its coverage. On the other hand, such basic journalism may have an unintended consequence, namely, giving cover to a chronically untruthful commander-in-chief. Here's how Atlantic's Adam Serwer put it this week on WNYC's The Takeaway.
Most Americans do not watch these conferences live. I think the larger issue is that they consume them through newspaper write-ups and local news clips where the falsehoods and erratic behavior and rambling by the president are downplayed as producers and editors try to hammer Trump's statements into something that can be digested as information. So there's an impulse, even when the president is not saying something that makes sense, to make it make sense somehow, to write around it or to edit around it.
So, should TV journalists just let the nation see the emperor naked at the podium or cherry-pick his most cogent moments? What's an enemy of the people to do? Last weekend, New York Times health and science reporter Donald McNeil Jr. proffered a third path. Diminish the White House's presence by foregrounding the steady and trusted expert standing nearby.
Today, as you all know, after 9 days, we've flown over 22,000 sorties and air operations. In those air operations, we have over 26 air-to-air kills by the coalition air forces.
That was General Norman Schwarzkopf in 1991 briefing the world on Operation Desert Storm. Not a politician, but the government's handpicked explainer of the war. One obvious choice for preempting the president in these circumstances is Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, who's already been at pains to correct the record with Trump just a few socially incorrect feet away.
Dr. Fauci, as was explained yesterday, there has been some promise with hydroxychloroquine, this potential therapy for people who are infected with coronavirus. Is there any evidence to suggest that, as with malaria, it might be used as a prophylaxis against COVID-19?
No, the answer is no. And the evidence that you're talking about, John, is anecdotal evidence.
But Fauci seems to have been pushed farther and farther away from the president on the reviewing stand. This coinciding with a right-wing troll campaign portraying him and other experts as partisan saboteurs out to harm President Trump, unless I've misinterpreted the term deep state Hillary Clinton-loving stooge. But if we're looking for a coronavirus Schwarzkopf, there's one who already has a podium.
Facts can be uplifting. They can be depressing at times. They can be confusing at times. But I think facts are empowering.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's morning press briefings haven't garnered the same audiences as Trump's primetime appearances, but they've been well covered and, unlike the president's, widely praised. This is partly due to New York State's unfortunate claim to epicenter status. Almost a third of the nation's confirmed COVID-19 cases are in New York City. But Cuomo cleaves strictly to the science, the data, the advice of experts, and the imperative of public health. He does some pastoral work, but offers no Pollyanna declarations or unfounded hope.
You know, in a situation like this, not knowing the facts is worse, because that's when you feel out of control.
On the other hand, he is a politician, and his resume is not unblemished. Before we anoint him America's governor, we should recall America's mayor.
Tell me, what is your philosophy of leadership? So many people are admiring your leadership just now.
You have to lead by example. You have to be honest. You got to be willing to work as hard as the people that you're asking to work with you and not be removed from them.
The press, in other words, should be vigilant regarding Cuomo's motives and his rhetoric. For example, on Wednesday, Cuomo said the state was fully supplied with protective gear for healthcare personnel, a claim promptly disputed by the nurses' union. The emergency protocols for stretching out the usable life of the gear, said the union, continue to put frontline caregivers at high risk. And so, what the world needs at the moment is not just leadership, but trust. Where politics lurks, virulent but unseen, we must, above all, remain at safe distance.
Coming up, if the message from the White House is misleading, be careful of half-baked science, too.
This is On the Media.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.